Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Most of us alive today take computers and our increasingly internet-connected world for granted. But as technologies that affect our everyday life go, personal computers are fairly recent, and the World Wide Web is even more recent. Telephones have been with us for more than a century and a quarter, automobiles for almost as long, and even commercial airline travel has been with us for a century. But what about personal computers, those devices that allow us to interact with them, to write letters or stories or business reports, to listen to music, and on? Practically speaking, personal computers as we know them today, devices that include a mouse or a touchpad and easy-to-use word processing software and hypertext and email capability, have only been around since the early 1980s, or about 30 years, more or less. There were earlier personal computer models that didn't have a mouse and required people to program them themselves, but personal computers as we know them didn't appear until the early 80s. Those of us alive today have lived through a digital revolution that's changed the world, and the world will never go back. So, let's reflect for a moment on where this revolution came from, where it's brought us to today, and where it might be headed. We have a wonderful opportunity, using today's technology, to witness a seminal moment of its birth. In what's probably the first real, widely available computer demo, Douglas Engelbart, co-inventor of the computer mouse and many other things that we use now every day, gave a demo of what, at the time, seemed like magic, a computer that a person could interact with and control in real time. The year was 1968. The technology he demonstrated included the use of a mouse, a first. Even more wondrous was a demonstration of a way to write words on a screen and then move them around, or insert new words, or remove some of the original words, all by simply dragging them around the screen using a mouse. In order to accomplish these tasks that are second nature for four-year-olds today, Engelbart needed the support of a team of engineers and a mainframe computer. The things that he demonstrated at the San Francisco Civic Center Auditorium brought the 1,000 engineers in the audience to their feet in a standing ovation. It was a truly seminal moment in personal computer history. It seemed miraculous at the time. And what's even more miraculous is that we can see it for ourselves today because Engelbart and Company filmed the demo, and it's available on YouTube right now. We'll put the actual YouTube URL address on the Electronic Cottage Archive for today's program, which you can find at the WERU Public Affairs Archive at www.weru.org. You can also find it on YouTube by searching for The Mother of All Demos, which is the way that most people in the computer field think of this hour and 40-minute long piece that gave a glimpse of what the world would become in the lifetimes of many of those present at that demo. Fast forward to today. In the U.S. and many other parts of the world, it's difficult to even imagine anymore what life would be like without computers and the web. Those devices have engendered several decades of increasing marvels of efficiency, excitement, and discovery. And, alas, as we're finding out more and more each day, digital technology is not only an opportunity for wonderful good, but also for not at all wonderful ill. While the mother of all demos hinted at the great good of what would become digital technology, several recent books from 2015 warn us to be wary and worried about the possibilities for ill, as well as celebrating the wonders. Bruce Schneier is, in the words of Wired magazine, one of the world's foremost security experts. He's written code for things that we all use every day. His new book is called Data and Goliath. But in this case, Data isn't fighting Goliath, as did David in the biblical story. Instead, Data is feeding Goliath. A second volume out in 2015 is Crimes of the Future. The author is Mark Goodman, a fellow who's been everything from a beat cop to futurist in residence for the FBI. He begins one of the chapters in his book with this quote from the late scientist and popularizer of science, Carl Sagan. Quote, "We've arranged things so that almost no one understands science and technology. This is a prescription for disaster. We might get away with it for a while, but sooner or later, this combustible mix of ignorance and power is going to blow up in our faces." End quote. Strong words, and perhaps prophetic. To put a bit of substance behind them, let's look at some of the chapter titles from these two books. First, From Data and Goliath. Part 1, The World We're Creating. Data as a Byproduct of Computing. Data as Surveillance. Analyzing Our Data. The Business of Surveillance. Government Surveillance and Control. Consolidation of Institutional Control. Part 2, What's at Stake? Political Liberty and Justice. Commercial Fairness and Equality. Business Competitiveness. Privacy. Security. And these chapter titles from Future Crimes. Connected, Dependent, and Vulnerable. System Crash. Moore's Outlaws. You're Not the Customer, You're the Product. The Surveillance Economy. Big Data, Big Risk. IT Phones Home. In Screen We Touch. Mo Screens, Mo Problems. Crime Inc. Inside the Digital Underground. When All Things Are Hackable. Home Hacked Home. Hacking You. Rise of the Machines, When Cybercrime Goes 3D. Next Generation Security Threats, Why Cyber Was Only the Beginning. There's a lot to think about in the pages of both of these books, though reading them won't make any of us experts in either science or technology, but they will definitely provide a context to think more clearly about the digital world we're already in, and the world that's becoming the place where we and our children will be living tomorrow. Then, hopefully, we can understand and, hopefully, have a say in how that world will work for us and for those who follow us. To get from the mother of all demos to where we are today took considerably less than 50 years. What may happen in the next 50 could be far more revolutionary, and we'll take a look at those possibilities right here on a future edition of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.